GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. He's not an official member of the president's cabinet, but Elon Musk was there at President Trump's first cabinet meeting of his second term today. Musk defended the federal cuts being made by his Department of Government Efficiency, saying they're necessary to save the country.
And taking a lot of flack, and getting a lot of death threats, by the way. I mean, I like to stack them up, you know. But if we don't do this, America will go bankrupt.
And President Trump reiterated that any federal workers who do not email DOGE with an update on their responsibilities are at risk of being fired. At that meeting, President Trump with a blunt message to Ukraine about joining NATO, telling them forget about it. This comes as President Zelensky plans to visit the White House this week. The measles outbreak in the U.S. has turned deadly. A school-aged child in Texas now has died. This is the first death from measles in the U.S. in a decade. The disease had been eradicated in the United States in the year 2000. This is ABC News.
I'm Earl Ingram, host of The Earl Ingram Show. We're celebrating Black History Month by sharing some powerful interviews and stories featuring Wisconsin's own trailblazers. We're also listening to you because conversations can make a difference.
It's got to be had, and we have to have it on a regular basis, not only on the air, but around the coffee table. I was more optimistic than before than I am now. America's taken a big backward step.
I do try to have that conversation about racial disparity and give small history lessons as much as I can.
Join us to continue the conversations as we stand together and learn together. And let's celebrate Black History Month every month. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Congressman Derek Van Orden, as well as all of Wisconsin's Republican representatives, voted in favor of a U.S. House budget resolution last night. The measure passed by two votes, with all House Democrats voting against it and all but one Republican voting for it. Van Orden said that the budget resolution does not include cuts to programs such as Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid, and anyone saying otherwise is lying. Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan says the plan reduces funding for health care and for food assistance. Meanwhile, hundreds of Wisconsinites gathered outside of Senator Ron Johnson's office in Madison Tuesday to protest possible cuts to Medicaid in the Republican House budget proposal. The budget proposal includes over $880 billion in cuts to the committee that oversees Medicaid. In Wisconsin and across the country, Republican representatives have faced spirited crowds at town halls voicing their concerns over the potential cuts. Some of those representatives have even agreed with their constituents that cuts to Medicaid programs would be a mistake. The eighth round.
The Bucks fall short in Houston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks played well on defense, but missed shots on offense. They lost to the Rockets, 100-97. Head coach Doc Rivers.
This is one of those games that'll keep you up at night. It really was. And I thought we would have a big advantage from the three-point line, and it was a dead heat.
Men's college basketball, Wisconsin and Marquette, both with wins at home. The Badgers beat the Washington Huskies, 88-62. John Blackwell scored 24 points.
Started off with the defense, just like getting after it. Listen to what coach said. Let my offense game do the work for itself. So, yeah, I think it was just a defensive end.
Marquette trounced Providence, 82-52. Baseball, Brewers with a 9-6 win over the Cleveland Guardians. At the NFL scouting combine, will defensive back Jair Alexander be back with the Pack?
Yeah, he's never said anything differently. And, I think he loves Green Bay. You know, again, we'll work through that as we go through the offseason and see where that leads.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, maybe a sprinkle or flurry, low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, a clearing sky by the afternoon and warmer again, highs low 40s. Windy with maybe some sprinkles Friday, high upper 40s to 50, currently 40 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at a very nuanced topic, Joann Fabrics closing. Doesn't affect you. Also, what's worse? Food Edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. We have a question tonight that's a bit controversial. Would you agree with that, Conrad?
Sure.
I was asked to explain what manscaping was by Lisa.
Yes.
I think Lisa was in Madison or Middleton. And our question tonight is, yeah, I think we should go through the whole spiel again. Play the clip, Conrad. Let's hear it.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What aspect of bodily maintenance do you wish you didn't have to do? I said nose hair. I find that tedious. Conrad said he wished he didn't have to wear deodorant.
Yep.
So that means basically your answer is you don't want to have to apply deodorant, which things are going to get a lot worse for you, buddy, as you get older. I'm just telling you.
it's a burden, you know?
That's right. It slows you down that extra 8 seconds. We've had some great, and assuming most people, it's probably the private areas, like I said, manscaping. Lisa wasn't sure what I was referring to, so I had to explain it. And that's not fun either. That can be dangerous. Don't do it after you've had a couple drinks, folks.
Yes.
715 says colonoscopy. Conrad's dad says he agrees with me. Nose hair is just a pain. And Lisa in Middleton also said a colonoscopy. It's a tie. Colonoscopy and taking care of her liver, which means probably not having several cocktails, maybe? I don't know. And then Drake said, be sure you wear your glasses when you trim your nose hair or you could miss something. And he said, nose waxing is a thing. It's all over YouTube. I'm a little leery of YouTube and all the experts. Conrad's mom says, I don't like needles, so I don't enjoy having blood drawn for labs, which I totally get, and I'm in full agreement. And then Drake was nice enough, Drake from Green Bay, not the Drake that Kendrick has the issue with. I want to make that perfectly clear. This is not Drake the rapper, or it could be.
Drake could have relocated to Green Bay.
Keep a place in Green Bay. A lot of big Hollywood types do that. You never know when you want to go to a Packer game or hit Curly's over at Lambeau. But he included, and I'll have to watch this after the show, a couple videos of people getting their nose hair waxed. That looks awful, too. So, but let us know what you think, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What is the most tedious bodily maintenance chore or one you wish you didn't have to do? And you can include medical procedures as well. So we'll do that. Rob Thomas is coming up in just about 10 minutes. We'll talk about the Oscars, which are literally right around the corner, March 2nd. I want to hear some of Rob's predictions. We'll talk to him about a couple of articles he wrote. He's the CityCast Madison newsletter editor, in addition to being a Madison-based film critic. Busy guy. But we'll talk to Rob, as we so often do, in just a few minutes. And you saw, I want to hear what you have to say, and I want to ask Rob about this too. The film Anora.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I saw it last night.
Okay.
I was bored. So
wait
like,
a minute.
You know,
I'm starting to put all this together. So Kristen Lierley was on last night. She talked about how much sex there was in Anora, and then you go home and watch it immediately that night? I'm not saying that's why, but it's a little suspect.
Okay. You caught me red-handed.
I'll steer clear of that one, too. Okay, thoughts?
Well, I didn't expect how much sex is actually in that.
Yeah, there's quite a bit.
But
it's awesome.
The beginning of it was interesting. I did find it a little fun. And then all of a sudden it just went down this cliff of just me getting bored, even more bored than I was. And it was just like her being captive. And I was like, okay, is someone going to do something? And it was just like the whole movie of her pretty much just being a captive. And I thought it was just boring is what I thought.
Right. I'll say this. I thought the film was, when she, towards the end, she's married to a Russian oligarch's son. They do a very quick wedding after having sex for the whole first part of the movie. And then, you know, the parents are against it. The Russian parents, they come over. The kid takes off, leaving her with kidnappers who say, you're not going anywhere until we get the marriage annulled. And then it drags. It's like 30 minutes of her sitting there. It's a couple funny scenes where she kicks the kidnapper in the face. It's listed as a comedy, and a lot of the Sean Baker stuff is very funny. I think I watched this thinking it was supposed to be one of the best films of the year, and it had trouble measuring up, just to me personally. But there is a scene, and I'm sure you remember this, where she says, I'm taking you for everything you got. We never signed a prenup. And I thought, okay, here we go, some drama. She's got some backbone, and then nothing happened with that either. It was just like, I don't get it. And I really wanted to like it, and I didn't dislike it. I think I would have liked it more were it not up for Best Picture.
I didn't really even care about what it's nominated for. I just got bored.
You just didn't like it.
And for a movie to really grab my attention, it's, you know, it did originally, and I just dragged off. And then I saw, after that, I watched the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie, and that was a lot of fun. It was great scenes and just comedy with Jim Carrey, and he plays Eggman.
Okay.
And in the film he finds his grandpa, which is I can't think of the name, but it's Jim Carrey also. So he's playing two characters.
He's playing two roles. I love
which
that.
Two Jim Carreys in the movie is almost too much. It was so funny.
All right.
It had me laughing the whole film when they were together.
Interestingly enough, there was even more sex in Sonic 3 than there was in Anora, which I found curious. Yeah, the hedgehogs cannot keep their hands off each other or their paws or whatever they are. I still haven't seen that. It got good reviews, though. It did very well at the box office. So that's definitely on my list.
I would say it's definitely my favorite Sonic movie that they've made.
Have you seen all of them?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And I saw the Knuckles TV show as well, which that one was just... Yeah.
Huh. Knuckles. What
it was
is that?
Mainly about, well, Knuckles is a hedgehog.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
But it was mainly about bowling.
Okay.
And yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
I want to play a little highlight, if I can, from last night's show. Because I last night on Nightlight, I talked about how when we sit there and watch TV together at night, do we have this that we can play that you just cut together, that thing with Kristen?
I will grab it.
Okay. So I talked about how rubbing your feet together is like self-cuddling. And a lot of people do it. You're sitting there in a room and you're all watching a movie and you look over and people are rubbing their feet together. And I caught myself doing it in a hotel room this past weekend. I was watching The Fugitive, just kind of chilling out. And I realized you don't really do that. You don't ever just sit there and rub your shoulder or rub your hands together like you're washing them to relax. It's just your feet. Whatever that is, it must set off endorphins that help us relax or calm down. So I mentioned this to my guest last night, Dr. Kristen Lierley, who was always fun. And she kind of agreed with me and kind of didn't. Let's hear that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You can't ever shock her. You know, not that I wasn't trying to do that, but she's always got, given her profession, she's always seen something worse than what you're saying, or has a joke, or isn't afraid to go there. That's so much fun. So we've got Rob Thomas coming up in a little bit. Hey, I would love to hear what people think, too. I said this at the beginning of the show, the tush push. Conrad and I both agree that, because this happened when Brian Gutekunst said at the Combine, I believe it was the Combine, that they should do away with the tush push that Philadelphia does with Jalen Hurts. And I don't, do you remember the reason he gave? Like, I heard it, now I can't remember it.
I mean, a lot of people want to ban it because of the injuries that come with it. You can very get injured. I mean, Jason Kelce has talked about how that play he hated because he would get hurt every game after it. Okay. So maybe it's the injury standpoint, but also it's just no one can stop it.
You know what? Maybe Jason Kelce needs to toughen up a little bit. And that's fine. If you don't want to call it for those reasons, I get that. If there's tons of injuries or it's not safe, don't call it. But like, I disagree with what Gutekunst said. It's like, I agree with you, what you said. Just stop it or do it better. You know, that those are innovations of the game.
Practice
it's
it.
Like the peanut punch, you know? It's like, hey, you can't knock the football out of my hand. It's like, well, yeah, I can. This is like what we're doing here. So I would love to know what people think about the tush push too, and if it should be banned, as Gutekunst is the GM, right? Or is he the president?
GM. Yeah, GM.
What the Packers GM says, or if you think it should be allowed. I think it should be allowed. And it's one of those things where it could force teams to do things differently.
Yeah.
You might draft, you know, fatter linemen or guys that can't be moved as much because of that. But it's typically only to get a first down or a two-point conversion or a goal line. You know, it's not like it's, I don't know. It's interesting. And I was surprised when I heard that, to be honest with you. So we also have, do we have time to play the jump to conclusions?
Sure.
Okay, so Richard Reilly, our friend, just had surgery on his mouth and cannot be on the show next week because I wanted him to talk about The Fugitive, the opening scene he's in. So in honor of Richard recovering from his surgery, we're going to play his scene from Office Space and what his character Tom Smikowski invented.
You know, there are people in this world that don't have to put up with all this shit. Like that guy that invented the pet rock. You see, that's what you have to do. You have to use your mind and come up with some really great idea like that, and you can make millions, never have to work again.
You think the pet rock was a really great idea?
Sure it was. The guy made $1 million. You know, I had an idea like that once, a long time ago.
Really? What was it, Tom?
Well, all right. It was a jump to conclusions, Matt. You see, it would be this mat that you would put on the floor and would have different conclusions written on it that you could jump to.
That is the worst idea I've ever heard in my life, Tom.
Yes. Yes, it's horrible, this idea.
That's so great. Oh, Richard, really. He's a treasure, so we wish Richard a speedy recovery after mouth surgery. He said he'll be out of commission for a couple months, but we'll have him on as soon as we can. Always fun to have him on Nightlight. When we come back, one of our faves, Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas, he's also the CityCast Madison newsletter editor, joins us for some fun Oscar predictions. We'll do that next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Appleton Cigar Company on College Avenue has been serving the community for over 25 years. If you are a cigar aficionado looking for a one-of-a-kind experience, you need to check out Appleton Cigar, which boasts the largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee with over 706 cigars to choose from in a walk-in humidor. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails that pair perfectly with a premium cigar. For the full experience, come to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Ave, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletonsigar.com.
This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver, and at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers. But since adding a once-a-day active liver tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of active liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with active liver. You can find active liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com. Amazon, or ask for active liver at your local CVS. New year, new you, new Nordic.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Welcome back. Oh, great fun here tonight. Monica from Mount Horeb says, I do not rub my feet together to relax, which leads to my self-care chore I'd prefer not to have to do. Sand my crusty old man feet because I have dry skin. Monica has old man feet?
Right.
That's interesting. Thank you for sharing that, Monica. I'm serious because I've shared things probably that are pretty personal on this show, and I appreciate when one of the listeners is not afraid to jump in there and tell me she has crusty old man feet. I think that's great. I happen to have gorgeous feet, Monica. It's not a contest. I have a lot of other flaws, though. So, thank you for the text. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to welcome now to Nightlight one of our favorites here. He's on quite a bit, and we love talking movies and TV with Rob, especially with the Oscars right around the corner. He's a Madison-based film critic and also edits the CityCast Madison newsletter. Rob Thomas joins us now on Nightlight. Rob, how are you?
I'm good, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. Do you have a bodily maintenance function you hate to do the most? I have to drag you into this, Rob. I'm sorry.
There's none that I love too much.
Oh, that's fair.
There's no part of my body at this age that I want to spend a lot of time on, to be honest with you.
Right. You get to a certain age where you don't even like to look at yourself in the mirror, and that's so sad.
No. I mean, I will say, it's been a half century battle with flossing, where it's like, I floss for a while and then I fall off and then I go back. And then, of course, I go to the dentist and I lie to them that I've been flossing, even though they're looking at
me. Yeah, they can tell, right?
As I'm saying it. but we all sort of agree to just say, oh, we'll try and do a little better. But so that's one I need to pick up the habit of. My dentist was always like, oh, I just flossed in my car. And I was like, well, first of all, you're a dentist. And secondly, that's very weird.
That is really weird.
Yeah, like a stop sign. So he flosses just a little bit.
Like, how much gross stuff is on his steering wheel? Honest to God. And I'm the kind of guy, like, when you tell me it's okay not to do something, I'll take advantage of that. And I had a friend who was a dentist who said flossing is more important than brushing. So I floss on average, I would say six, like Saturday nights, maybe I won't floss. I know I'm not going to see anybody. But other than that, I'm pretty religious about it. However,
good for you.
Yeah. But they have said, a couple dentists have told me, it's more important than brushing. So if I'm going to slack off on something, I'll floss and then be too tired to brush and just go into bed, which is not good either, you know.
No, right.
Oh, everyone is sharing a lot on the show tonight, and I love it. Hey, it's great to have you on the show. Before we jump into the Oscars, Rob, I saw your article in CityCast Madison from a couple weeks ago. Can you explain to everybody? It sounds more pathetic than it is because you explain it, but it says, I got to find the headline here. Madison has lots of options for solo, to go on solo dates.
This is good. It's healthy to be able, you know, we, CityCast Madison and the Madison News there, we had like what we call a love week around Valentine's Day. And not everybody has somebody to go out with, and it's important to have a little self care. So I love going to movies by myself. Like I Same. Almost prefer it because I don't have the pressure of worrying that the other person. I mean, I love going with my kids, but in general, like with friends or whatever, like it's there's just the pressure of worrying that they're enjoying the movie, or like I picked a bad one, or you know I don't want them to feel bad if I don't like the movie they picked. It's just a whole social thing. And so, you know, it was just some ideas for like, you know, get out, you know, you don't have anything to do. Just go out and sit at the bar and read a book and have a nice meal and a beer or, you know, go to a movie or go to a show or, you know, I think it's healthy to solo date.
I agree. And you explain it wonderfully because you say get a massage. It's not like you're dating yourself per se, but like take a medication or take a meditation class, take a nature walk, go to a bookstore, learn to enjoy being with yourself was the gist of it. I just thought it read kind of funny, like you're dating yourself.
I did like the picture of this woman just sitting alone at a table. Like anyone get a,
who's gorgeous. And frankly, if she was sitting alone at a table, she'd probably have to shoo guys away. And you don't want to have to do that either, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
It reminds me, though, pardon me, of the old Richard Jenny joke, which I can't say verbatim, but he says, don't you hate it when people are always talking, your friends are talking about sex or all that stuff after dates and that? He goes, don't be afraid. Chime right in with a self-pleasuring story of your own, I'll say, for lack of a better. It's like, I didn't know what was going to happen that night, but I got home. I couldn't keep my hands off myself, you know.
I was all over me.
Exactly. You also did another article I thought was great about swag in Madison. And this was kind of cool because everything is so expensive in Madison, even the swag, even if you want to buy a Badger sweatshirt or whatever.
Oh, sure.
So elaborate on that a little bit, please, if you would.
Yeah, I just was thinking about it because, you know, people come to Madison, they want to get souvenirs or you want to send a gift to somebody out of town when you just move here, or you just want to kind of rep the city. And so, like, I knew about the university bookstore, obviously, has lots of Badger gear, but I was looking around to see other places that might have some interesting stuff. And it was a fun article to research. Like you can get, you know, little, you know, Capitol Rotunda snow globes and all kinds of you know, funky t-shirts and posters, you know, a lot of like locally made as well as like locally focused gifts and stuff. And then these little shops all over town. So that was kind of fun to do a little shopping guide. And of course, you know, sometimes you just want a Badger sweatshirt, but these are kind of cool little things too.
Did you, like, when you talk to these places, did they give you free swag for?
No, they did not. No. But I'll go back now that I've written it and
there you
pick
go.
Up that little cow or that snow globe.
I love, I encourage everybody who's listening to check out the CityCast Madison newsletter because just today. Yeah. Events on the 26th, you've got all this cool stuff listed. Johnny Cash birthday bash, Cork and Bottle string band. How cool is that? Office versus Parks and Rec trivia, an open mic hosted by Jack Tomlinson at the Red Rooster, which I've heard is a great open mic and a really cool thing to do in Madison. So definitely check out the CityCast Madison newsletter. Our guest, Rob Thomas, is the editor of that. And when we come back after the news, Rob and I are going to talk about the Oscars and make our predictions. You're probably more informed than I ever. Have you seen all the films, Rob?
I have not. Okay. No, I was going to binge this weekend and catch up.
Yeah, same. All right, we'll get into that after the news. Rob Thomas is here. Folks, don't go away. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. How much do you know?
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. In a blink-and-you'll-miss-it moment during the Oshkosh Common Council meeting Tuesday night, Rebecca Grill was sworn in as the new city administrator.
Do you solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Wisconsin and uphold the ordinances of the City of Oshkosh and faithfully and impartially discharge the duties of the Office of City Manager for the City of Oshkosh, Wisconsin, to the best of your ability?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Grill replaces Mark Roloff, who retired January 3rd, 2025, after 16 years of service to the City of Oshkosh. 10 federal employees at the Milwaukee VA were let go this week. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
It's part of the Trump administration's effort to reduce government spending. The impacted employees include at least three veterans. The American Federation for Government Employees has announced it's suing the federal government over the firings. It's part of a larger nationwide termination of 1,400 VA employees.
One juvenile was taken into custody, charged with making terroristic threats, and put in secure detention yesterday after allegedly making threats via social media against Roncalli Middle School in Manitowoc. Manitowoc police were notified of the social media threat just after 6 a.m. Tuesday morning. Manitowoc police said in a release that no actions or threats against the safety of children will be tolerated. WGBW has an e-newsletter that comes out twice a week, and it is filled with stories you care about from the greater Green Bay area. Subscribe today at WGBW.fm. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Justin Bieber have taken to social media to voice their concern for the singer. Bieber's recent public appearances have shown him looking disheveled, gaunt, and exhausted, prompting rumors that the pop star is using drugs again. Bieber says he is overtired because he actively parents his newborn son and has been holding late-night recording sessions. Reps for Bieber have adamantly denied that the pop star is using hard drugs again. More to come, I'm sure. Evel Knievel was one of the most popular motorcycle stuntmen in the world, and at times was even successful. According to Puberty.com, Leonardo DiCaprio is in talks to play Knievel in a new biopic. Legend has it that over the course of his career, Knievel broke 433 of the 205 bones in his body. In 1971, Evel Knievel jumped his motorcycle over 19 cars, a record that stood until it was finally broken in 1998 by none other than... no idea. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, maybe a sprinkle or flurry, low in the low 30s. For tomorrow, a clearing sky by the afternoon and warmer again, highs low 40s. Windy with maybe some sprinkles Friday. High upper 40s to 50. Currently 40 degrees.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
The 2025 draft is almost here, bringing in guests from around the world for this once-in-a-lifetime event. Enjoy ultra-high-end luxury with Simple Life Hospitality's NFL Draft Homes. Available to fit all budgets, experience hospitality at its finest with concierge services like private chefs, transportation, grocery delivery, and daily excursions. Doing a corporate retreat? Have your company host a party at a draft home in walking distance to Lambeau. Visit SimpleLifeRentals.com and make the most of this unforgettable event.
About half of us will experience a mental health concern at some point in our lives. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr. So let's open up about our mental health on the next new Wisco Weekend.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
Welcome back. Pardon me. Ladies and gentlemen, great to have you with me on this Wednesday night edition of Nightlight. Steve from the 920 says, Pete and Conrad, isn't the tush push play a throwback when football started back in the day? My take is for the defense to man up and practice, analyze to stop the forward play. Yeah, that's kind of what I said at the top of the show, Steve. Like, I feel like, hey, you can't run the ball forcefully right at us. Like, that's the whole game.
Yeah, it's... You know what the play is. You got to practice it. That's the only thing that can help you.
I don't like this team trying to advance the ball one bit. It gave me a break.
Well, my dad said, just like, isn't it a tush push a play from back in the day?
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of a rugby scrum.
Right.
Red Ross.
Right. And believe me, it's not exciting to watch unless the game is on the line. I don't love the play, but yeah, kind of a silly request. Rob Thomas is with us from the CityCast Madison newsletter. He's the editor. He is also a Madison-based film and TV critic. He writes about entertainment. Rob, how are you feeling about the Oscars?
It's a nutty year.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there's any real front runner. Even though Anora has won a lot of awards, and that's the one I would probably bet on.
Okay.
I kind of feel like it's one of those years where, like, they kind of give a little bit to everybody, you know, like this,
right.
You know, they spread it out, but, it's a weird year for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like there'll be a sweep, but I have to be honest. First of all, I'm really excited because this year more than any, I think that makes it more fun to watch when you don't know sure. what's going to happen. So, personally, I'm excited about that. And there, you could really look a lot of different ways. I know that that Conclave won for Best Ensemble Cast at the SAG Awards last weekend. And I read some crazy statistic that over the last 30 years, the movie that won Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards brought home the Oscar for Best Picture in all but 4 years, like 26 out of 30 years. So you might say, oh, well, Conclave has the inside track. But I'm with you. I've heard a lot about Anora, which, what did you think of Anora?
Oh, that's one of the ones I haven't seen.
Okay.
I'm going to see it Saturday, I think. It's playing okay. at the local theater, so I want to catch it. So,
yeah.
But it's one that's won a lot of awards, right? It won the Directors Guild. It won the Producers Guild. Just won Independent Spirit Awards last weekend. So, like, if right. you're looking at, like, the one that, like, has won the most leading up to this, it's probably that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can see Conclave, too, because, like in my head, like, it's Anora and The Brutalist are probably the top two, but both films have, like, some people love it, some people are kind of meh on it. Yeah. But I don't know anybody who didn't really like Conclave. Like, it seems to be the one that kind of covers all its bases, so it could sort of, like, I don't know, sneak in there somehow if the vote is split between Anora and The Brutalist.
Yeah,
but I mean, I always thought Wicked was gonna, like, you know, it was the one big hit. It would be like Barbie or Oppenheimer, but it seems like it's really kind of fallen off the page.
You don't even really hear about that at all.
No.
And you don't hear about Dune 2. Most days I forget that was even nominated. So
right.
I don't like to think I probably assume it has no chance, and maybe Wicked either. But I feel like with Anora, and we could talk after you see it, but I feel like people love Sean Baker.
Yes.
But it's not even my favorite Sean Baker film. Like, I liked Red Rock. I love The Florida Project. It's one of my all-time favorite films. Love Red Rocket. I like Tangerine. And I liked Anora, but I think I watched it thinking it was nominated for Best Picture. And I didn't think it lived up to that, but you make a good point. I mean, it's won a lot of awards.
Yeah. That's hard, too, I think, when you see a movie after it's already been showered with acclaim. Then you're kind of like, well, what's the big deal here exactly? Even if it's like, you know, a good movie.
Right.
Know, but yeah. So we'll see.
Let me ask you this. What did you like? What film that you've seen? I haven't seen The Brutalist. I haven't seen Nickel Boys. and I have not seen I'm Still Here. I know you saw I'm Still Here because I think we discussed that last time, yep. And you liked it a lot. Yep. I've heard I had Mariah Gates on Monday, I think. She thinks Nickel Boys is the best film she's seen all year. What have you liked the most of what you've seen, regardless of whether or not you think it'll win an Oscar?
I mean, of the 10 nominated movies, I think Dune Part 2 is the best. Yeah, okay. I mean, I think, and you think about those two films together, that's just an amazing achievement. And I think if it hadn't been released in February, the fact that it's science fiction is probably working against it to some degree.
Yeah.
I think it might be more of a player because it's so, it also has a lot of great performances. I mean, Timothée Chalamet is, of course, deservedly getting a lot of attention for A Complete Unknown, but he's also great in Dune. Like his character makes an incredible arc from one movie to the next. Right. And there's a lot of great supporting characters, and it's just so skillfully made and interesting. And so that's the one I would probably say of the 10 that, you know, I'm definitely not thinking it's going to win, but that's the one I would point to.
Okay. And what about, so that's like your personal favorite.
Yeah.
Did you see Emilia Perez?
I didn't. I've not heard good things about it, but I should watch it.
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place. And then the other one, did you see The Substance?
I didn't, no.
Okay. So those are your three, and I have my three.
Yeah.
What did you think of Nickel Boys?
Well, that's another one I haven't seen. I got four. I gotta see. I hear Nickel Boys is astonishing. Like it's like just the way it's made, and I've seen that filmmaker's. He had a documentary a few years ago that was similarly very experimental and daring. I think it's called Hale County This Morning.
Okay.
So I'm really excited to see it. But I just hearing about it, it might be too experimental, I think, for a lot of, you know, it was something that the people who see it really love. But for general Oscar voters, it might be a little too much.
Interesting.
Because it's like shot entirely from the point of view of one of the characters, almost like a first person movie, I think. So,
yeah,
which is an very interesting way to make a movie, but maybe not for everybody.
Yeah. I gotta be honest. I'm going to pay, I want to say it's $30 or $25. I'm going to pay to see it. Cause I've heard that many good things about it.
Yeah.
And I'll figure out a way to see I'm Still Here and The Brutalist before Sunday. Actually, to finish The Brutalist, I'll probably have to start it Friday night. It'd be over in time for the Oscars.
Well, there's an intermission. Maybe you can just stretch out to 8 hours. That's true. And take a nap. Yeah.
Do you have any favorites or anything you've heard for the best actor, best supporting actress, those categories?
Let me think. I think they're all the categories are really strong. I think Timothée Chalamet probably has the edge for. For A Complete Unknown.
Right.
But I think people really like Ralph Fiennes and Conclave. And did he win for Schindler's List? I think he did, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in so many good movies. Like that would be wouldn't surprise me. And then of course Adrian Brody in The Brutalist. Who won for the Pianist 20 years ago, it's a little bit of a comeback for him, which is always something Oscar voters like. That's why I think Demi Moore is going to win for Best Actress for The Substance. But I think they're all tough, which like you said, it's fun. They're all tough categories where you can see it going three or four different ways.
I can't in the Best Actor category. Here's what I think. Could possibly happen. Tell me if I'm way off base in this. I don't know 100% how the voting works, but you've got Ralph Fiennes, Chalamet, Adrian Brody, Sebastian Stan played Trump. He could get some votes just because maybe some people in Hollywood don't like Trump or whatever. But here's my dark horse. It's Colman Domingo for Sing Sing. And I haven't seen Sing Sing, but all I heard when it came out is how amazing he is. And he is a great actor. Could you see a scenario where he pulls some type of upset?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he is fantastic in it. I mean, he's the one name actor in a group of, you know, it's set in a prison in this theater company, a prison, and all the other actors were inmates who went through the same program. And what's fascinating is like Colman Domingo is so good, but you also believe him within this group of actors who aren't as well known as this. He just sort of like fits in with the ensemble. So it's a really incredible performance. I think that's entirely worthy. And I think also, like Sebastian Stan, like that's a, he really had a great year between that and A Different Man, and has kind of broken away from the Marvel, you know, the Marvel thing in a big way. Any of those five, I think, really could, really has a shot.
I agree. I think Ralph Fiennes, you know, as great of an actor as he is, and he was good in Conclave. They were all, love Stanley Tucci, Isabella Rossellini, John Lithgow, Ray Fiennes, Ralph Fiennes, whatever you want to call him. I felt like he could have done that role in his sleep. Like, he didn't, he was just like mellow and calm, and he was the voice of reason and all that. And he was really good, but I kind of feel the same way about that as I do Edward Norton in A Complete Unknown. Like, he was good, but he was just likable. Like, I don't know. I'd be surprised if he won. I think Chalamet probably is the odds-on favorite, like you said.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Okay, best actress. I'm going to address the elephant in the room.
Okay.
All right? And it's a small room here, and she's not really an elephant. Demi Moore in The Substance. Yeah, she was good. I hated that movie. Wait, did you see that or not?
No, okay. That's what I got to see.
All right.
So, I'm excited / extremely nervous about seeing that movie. Just because
it's just awful.
Yeah.
But she's good. She's a good actor.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to denigrate like what she did or anything, but I'm like, really? Like, I don't know. Madison, I thought was better, even though I didn't think her, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what's happening here, Rob.
Yeah. I think, like I said a little earlier, like the comeback narrative is a big thing for that's like when Brendan Fraser won for The Whale a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That's really why he won, because it's like he'd been on the ropes and then, you know, and came back. And so, you know, and also the fact that she's playing a role that I think to some people kind of reflects where she is as an actress who spent 40 years in Hollywood, who feel, you know, dismissed in favor of younger actresses, you know, and the film sort of comments on that in a very disgusting way. And she's also given, like, when she's won awards this season, she's given some pretty incredible speeches. And that, I think that is also a thing they think about, is like, who's really gonna get up there, accept the Oscar, and really, like, really have something to say, you know, besides thanking their agent. So, and again, a couple of months ago, I would say, oh, Cynthia Erivo for Wicked, she's phenomenal, but obviously that doesn't seem to be happening. So,
I kind of was with you. And when I'm looking at these, like Mikey Madison, Demi Moore, Fernando Torres, I haven't seen I'm Still Here Yet.
Boop.
Carla Sophia.
She is great. She is really great. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you saying that. And Carla Sophia Gascon, I think I'm saying that right, from Emilia Perez. I don't think she's going to win because of the Twitter thing.
Yeah. She's gone up in flames, I think.
Yeah. Well, that is such a weird movie to draw 13 nominations. And everyone I talk to is kind of like, you know, and then you got the Twitter scandal. It's like, what more could go wrong? You know what I mean?
Right.
All right. That's interesting. And then let's do quickly, maybe we could do a short break here in just a minute, but best actress in a supporting role, Zoe, maybe?
See, now I think even though Emilia Perez has had all the backlash, I kind of think Zoe Saldana is going to win that one.
Yeah.
I think, because again, people, you know, I hear she is the one thing that everybody's like, oh, she's really good in this. And people have liked her for a long time. And, you know, I think I just have a feeling there. Although I would love it if Monica Barbaro, who played Joan Baez. And she's wonderful.
She was great.
So good. Yeah, I would love to see that as well.
I actually loved Ariana Grande and Wicked, too. I thought she was really funny. And I could kind of go, I haven't seen Felicity Jones in The Brutalist, but any of these other actresses I think would be great and could easily win. All right, so Rob Thomas is here. We'll talk about Best Supporting Actor coming up next. And have you seen The Gorge, Rob?
I haven't. Okay. I don't think it's in the Oscar conversation.
No, and it shouldn't be. I was just curious. I say it's not a great movie. It's a great Netflix movie, and that's different.
I've heard it's I've heard it's a good watch.
Right. It was fun. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll wrap things up with Rob Thomas coming up next after this break. So great to have you with me on Nightlight tonight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Someone's living for their love. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Ready.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Kerrigan Brothers Winery in Kaukauna, Stillmank Brewing Company in Green Bay, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, and Old Bavarian Brewing Company in Appleton. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
Tomorrow night on Nightlights, our pal Rich Tallarico will be here. Rich was a writer for Key and Peele and wrote some of their most famous sketches. The teacher, what do you call the teacher that can't pronounce the name?
Substitute teacher.
Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron? Oh, is that how it's going to be? And he wrote the sketch, too, where Obama is meeting all these dignitaries, and when they're white, he behaves one way, and when they're black, he's like, my brother. That is such a great sketch. So we'll have Rich on tomorrow night at 6:35. He's going to make the popcorn pick of the week, and we'll talk a little bit about what he is up to these days as well. Friday night is a Bar Band Friday night with Terry Barr and comedian James Connolly. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our friend Rob Thomas. We're talking about the Oscars and switching to the category of Best Supporting Actor. Rob, we got Guy Pearce from The Brutalist, Edward Norton from A Complete Unknown, Jeremy Strong from The Apprentice, Kieran Culkin, who's probably the favorite for A Real Pain, and Yuri Borisov, I think I'm saying that right, from Menorah, who was good. But what are you hearing about supporting actress or actor? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think, I mean, to me, only Yuri Borisov, I think, is the one who maybe doesn't have a chance.
Okay.
But I think you're right. Kieran Culkin is probably the favorite for... probably both kind of drafting off a few great years on Succession and then
this,
a really great performance in A Real Pain opposite Jesse Eisenberg. You know, he's a very irritating character at times, but also very sympathetic. And, you know, he's sort of his own worst enemy as well as his own like best friend. And I it's a great performance. So,
But,
you know, I do like, I mean, you said Edward Norton was too, just kind of a nice guy is Pete Seeger. I think he's really, really good in that. And part of the charm of it is not only that he imitates Pete Seeger so well, but he plays sort of like him as like the father figure to Bob Dylan, who Dylan kind of rejects.
Yeah.
Right? As you see, Pete Seeger's kind of the sense of betrayal, but he sort of covers it up and sort of understands it. It's complicated. So, and Edward Norton's such an interesting actor because, like, he used to be so. Remember, he was like a really difficult, intense actor and would do a lot of And now he's like Mr. Nice Guy and like the roles he takes and sort of his public right. persona. It's really interesting. So, but then I also like
Guy Pearce.
Guy Pearce is really good in The Brutalist. I mean, sort of as the heavy, although it's kind of a one note role, but he's really good at it. And then Jeremy Strong's always good, although So it's an interesting category. I think I agree with you about Kieran Culkin, but I would also see Edward Norton as having a pretty strong shot as well.
You know, and you're right. And I said that before, but he was very likable, but he was very good. And I liked his character so much. I can't remember who I said this to recently. I was mad at Dylan in the movie for not just putting the damn acoustic on and making the guy who helped you out happy. Like it would have changed nothing about history except this one event wouldn't have been talked about as much. But you're right. He was great. And I like Guy Pearce so much, even though I've never seen The Brutalist or haven't seen it yet. I always cheer for that guy. Probably because I liked him so much in L.A. Confidential and Memento. Yeah. I just think he's such a great actor.
Yeah, he could. I mean, he picks really interesting roles.
Yeah.
And like, you know, he could pick more like, I think he used to do some like action movie roles very early in his career, but pretty quickly he started picking really interesting ones. And this guy, he plays like a millionaire businessman who you know, he's definitely the villain of the movie, but okay. It's also a really magnetic, you understand why people are drawn to him at the same time. So,
right.
I would not be unhappy at all if he won.
Did you ever see a movie called The Road? It was a Cormac McCarthy.
Oh God. Yes.
Yeah. With Viggo Mortensen. And, Guy Pearce plays, I can't remember if he was a good guy or a bad guy in that, but I think he comes along. I think he was a good guy at the end, but he's got wearing an eye patch. And he's just one of those guys who morphs into roles so well. That was a really bleak movie, but he was great.
You're right. Yeah. He was like the one sense that maybe things might be okay.
Yeah. You know, yeah, possibly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, real quick, we have about a minute left, Rob, but we were talking about, I do these classic movie picks of the week here at Civic Media every week, and this week's is The Fugitive, and I try to have Richard Reilly on the film, or on the show tonight, but he had mouth surgery. I just watched The Fugitive in a hotel last week and realized he was one of the guards in that opening iconic train scene.
Right, right.
And he was so good. Do you remember that scene? And do you of believe course. They only had to do it? They only had one take to do that crazy scene?
Yeah, well, I remember somebody was asking the director, how did you shoot that scene where you rammed the train into the bus? And he said, well, we had this bus, and then we rammed a train into it.
It was so great. I was reading.
One of my absolute favorite movies, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't realize, I thought it was just kind of a popcorn movie, but in doing this research for the classic movie pick of the week, 7 Academy Award nominations for that, and Tommy Lee Jones won for Best Supporting Actor.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. They tried to, there was a movie U.S. Marshals a couple of years later where he tried to recreate it. There was some good stuff in it.
I agree.
It wasn't nearly as good as The Fugitive. Yeah.
Right. They tried to do The Fugitive without Harrison Ford and it wasn't quite as good.
It wasn't quite the same.
Hey, thank you as always, buddy. We'll keep talking and we'll figure all of this stuff out eventually. All right.
I'm sure we're both completely right about the Oscars.
Yeah, exactly. Have a great night, Rob. Thanks so much, as always. Okay. That's Rob Thomas. Check out his work in the CityCast Madison newsletter. I'm telling you, it's a great little rag. And they got so many interesting, you know what reminds me of too, Conrad, is that thing they do, the Up North News. Everything I read in it is interesting. That's how the newsletter is at CityCast Madison, where Rob is the newsletter editor. So check it out. Thank you to Rob. Thank you to Jamie McShane. Check out 1923. He's so good in it. It's such a good show too. Thank you for all your texts and good luck with those bodily trimmings and all the stuff we have to do, folks. Hang in there. It's Beach Wabbit and Nightlight on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, Tom Paulswitz and I dig into DEI in the age of Trump. We share with you some of the things MLK said that you may never have heard of.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. It was the first cabinet meeting of Trump 2.0, but it was Elon Musk taking center stage. He talked about the DOGE mission and taking a buzzsaw to the federal government's payroll. ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce was inside that meeting.
So I'm going to ask if it's possible to have Elon get up first.
Elon Musk didn't have a seat at the table at President Trump's first cabinet meeting, the world's richest man sitting off to the side. Still, Trump making it clear Musk is the MVP, calling on him first.
One day after the Department of Veterans Affairs celebrated an estimated $2 billion in savings on canceled contracts, the agency's been reversing some of those cancellations that may have affected veterans' medical care. Earlier, demonstrations gathered outside the VA Chicago, protesting looming DOGE layoffs. Overnight in the Middle East, Hamas handed over four dead hostages to the Red Cross in exchange for Israel's release of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners. This is ABC News.